the whole point of this is to speak clarity to a caregiver so that we're not floundering around wondering, you know, where do we go next? What do we do? What's going on? And I go back to this whole thing with gun safety. And this is a real, burr in my saddle. And I'm doing this show from out here in Montana. So I was out riding this week. I did go out and clear my head a little bit on Monday and saddle up with a couple local cowboys, some 50 cows got away from the herd way up in the national forest where they were grazing. And so we went out to find them. And we evidently went to the wrong place because we were looking for cows in all the wrong places. And y'all could laugh at that. That's actually very funny. But that was a lot of fun just getting out there trail riding a little bit and trying to find these cows. And we're not in nice areas. I mean, it's steep and but it's a beautiful area. But that's a burr in my saddle is this thing with guns, because I think a lot of people rush to push their political ideology. And very few people are rushing to push this in a ministry capacity. And if you you think about this, that all of our clergy combined, even those from different faith, we could still ask the same question: are the firearms secured? You know, think about praying with a mother in despair over her addicted child. You don't have to wait for legislation. You can go ahead and ask the question now. Hey, does this kid have access to guns? And, you know, you're not going to stop it. I mean, somebody just went on a rampage with a knife. I mean, we can't exactly go out there and pass legislation against knives. We can, but legislation doesn't do anything. Y'all know that. And even if it does, it's still not going to do anything until they pass it. And I'm talking about something today, right now, that you could do. Think about if this man yesterday who shot and killed his wife and then killed himself over healthcare issues down in Florida. And if somebody was speaking life to this man, what a different outcome it would be. You can't ensure it. You can't make it happen that way. But you give him a fighting chance. And, you know, results are in God's department, but we have a responsibility to be stewards of this message. You know, are we just glad we got our salvation and we're glad we got our knowledge and then everybody else is just on their own? I mean, don't we have to be responsible with the information that God has entrusted us with? Aren't we to be the light of the world? And if we're not going to speak light into these situations, who are they going to listen to? You know, when you got states passing medically assisted death, and they're all just gung-ho to pass that so that, you know, physicians can provide drugs to go ahead and take a patient out. How big a leap is it for a caregiver to go ahead and just take matters in their own hand and say, okay, let's just be done with this? When you got a governor of Virginia who is a doctor himself saying that if a child with special needs is born and it's severely deformed, we're going to put the child aside, make it comfortable, and then we'll let the mother make the decision on whether or not we'll execute the child. How big a leap is it for a family with a special needs child that is pushing them to the breaking point to go ahead and just end that child's life? And don't tell me it doesn't happen. It just happened in Oregon a year ago this month, with a 28-year-old girl who took a gun and shot her child and then turned the gun on herself. Madison County, Tennessee, or maybe Dixon County, over in Dixon, Tennessee. A father of a special needs boy, a nonverbal autistic boy, beat him to death, and the mother watched. And then he told the community the child ran off, which happens with autism. There's a lot of problems with elopement. These are dark thoughts that get into these people's minds. To all of us, our minds are scary. In fact, period, it gets into all of our minds. And if we're not hearing words of life on a regular basis, who are we listening to? What are we listening to? Because the world is increasingly throwing death as a solution to us. Think about it. Look at all the headlines. Don't just take my word for it. Look at it yourself. The world is throwing death as a solution. Medically assisted death, abortion. You know, when Roe versus Wade was passed and set up as the law of the land, and I was watching Bill de Blasio this week argue about it, and he was asked point blank by Sean Hannity, you know, do you believe that a woman can have an abortion all the way to the moment of birth? And he wouldn't answer the question. He would just simply say, I believe in Roe versus Wade. Well, I don't believe in Roe versus Wade. I believe that our Savior bore the penalty of death, and we don't need to use death as a solution. But these people are not going to be content until they can eliminate by killing anything that makes them feel uncomfortable or in any way unpleasant. Don't take my word for it. Look at the media every single day. People say, well, I wouldn't want to live with this and this and this. Well, you don't know what you want to live with. My wife lives with more pain than anybody I know. Her body is so broken, and yet she has value with what she does, and she trusts God with her pain, and he speaks to her in it. C.S. Lewis said that, you know, suffering is God's megaphone to us. And the world is going to continue to reinforce this over and over and over till we get rid of people with disabilities, people who are aging, who have outlived their usefulness according to the world, children that we do not want. You look at Barack Obama, he said some years ago that if his daughter makes a mistake, he doesn't want her to be punished with a baby. I mean, these were his words. They're not my words, they're his words. And anything that is undesirable, we need to get rid of. It's what the world says. But Scripture tells us something far different, that we trust God with these things that come along in our lives that are challenging, that are painful. That we hang on to Him in this, not just look for some way to just go ahead and pull the trigger and be done with it. But our natural inclination is to want to be free of all this pain and sorrow and suffering and unpleasantness or fear or whatever it is we got to deal with. So let's just kill it. If we don't have any more money for health care or whatever, let's just go ahead and take our own lives and be done with it. This is happening now. It happened yesterday in Florida. Go look at the news. So what are we doing about it? What are we doing about it? This show is dedicated to speaking to those people who are watching this unfold, who are so discouraged as they watch someone else suffer. And to go into that heartbreaking place and point them to a path of safety. I get it. I truly get it. But God has not abandoned you. God has not forsaken you. This is not some kind of goofy punishment. He's not arbitrary. He is not reckless. He is not whimsical. He is God all by himself, and he alone is working in ways that we cannot possibly fathom. And so we learn to trust him. I had a lady that wrote to me last week on our Facebook page, and her husband has seizures all the time, and their 9-year-old boy said, you know, why would God do this to us? I remember our 9-year-old asked when his mother just kept going through surgery after surgery, losing legs and everything else, said, how can I trust God with my hurt when I see what he allows mom to go through? And I answered him with wisdom that I didn't know. It wasn't my wisdom. And I said, you know what? I don't understand all these things, but I know that he stretched out his arms and gave his life for us. And if he loves us that much, I'm going to trust him with these things too. This is Hope for the Caregiver. We'll be right back.